When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of MLB DFS Quick Hits, your Thursday, April 22nd edition. We have five games to discuss for this Thursday slate. Small one, getaway day, traveling day, all that fun stuff. We are in full baseball schedule, so that means we'll have a big Friday on hand. Hope everybody had a good Wednesday. Lots of offense. Like we talked about it, no pitching, basically offense galore on both slates for the most part, but especially the night slate. The Cubs putting up a couple touchdowns and maybe a field goal. Like, it's just points everywhere. The Royals and the Rays got it going. The D-backs and the Reds end up going extras and combining for 13 runs. Runs everywhere. That's the fun of baseball these days. When it's not Aces Day, we just have no pitching at all. It's a beautifully annoying thing is the best way I can put it. So we rock and roll. Ian Anderson was a ticket with Tyler Molly. That was their way to go. But lots of bats, lots and lots of bats to make things happen. Got a five-game slate to break down for you. This will be a quick show. Don't you worry about that. And it's some ugly pitching. We have like one ace and then a bunch of some weather things to look at. Seattle, Boston, wind blowing out to right field about 16 miles an hour. All of this can change, obviously. Keep an eye on that. Mets, Chicago, blowing out to right field about 9 miles an hour. Giants hosting the Marlins, blowing out to left field about 13 miles an hour. And that's had a little more impact than usual in years past. So keep an eye on that. It's not like a complete wash off like it used to be. I'm still not too concerned about it, but the ball has been flying this year because the ball, I believe, is still goofy. All right. The totals on this slate, Mariners at the Red Sox, total of 9.5. Mets Cubs waiting on that one because it's Wrigley and weather. It'll probably be 8.5 to 9. It's Lucchesi versus Trevor Williams. I'd imagine a pretty high total there. Angels Astros total of 9. Marlins Dodgers total, or Marlins Giants total of 8. Padres Dodgers 7.5. So you have three totals. I'm assuming they'll be about 9 or higher. Then a 7.5 and an 8 on the West Coast for the nightcap. So some fun stuff there. Slate starts at 4:10. You know, we just can't have nice things. Earlier this week, we started at 6:30 Eastern and 6:10 Eastern. Well, there's a 6:30 Eastern game, and we just don't get it. We could expand the slate a little bit, but we don't because DraftKings. So that's where we are on this one. But let's talk about the slate here. We'll talk about the pitching on this slate. Walker Buehler is $10,000 at home against the San Diego Padres. Yes, this has my attention. He has played San Diego 6 innings, 7 hits, 2 earned, 1 walk, 4 Ks for 12.7 points. He had 22 points against the Nats. He's thrown over 90 pitches each start, 6 innings each start, only 4 Ks in each start. He's got to get those strikeouts going up to be really fantasy relevant. But on this slate at $10,000, I will go to Walker Buehler because if anything, he should bring a pretty darn solid floor. And that's what we're looking for on slates with no pitching. Give me the best floor you possibly can. And that's what Walker Buehler can do on this slate. So Buehler at 10K, sign me up. Now it just gets into what gambling piece do we want to take? We'll start with Alex Cobb at $7,700, using his splitter over 50% of the time in a start from here. Like, I believe it was his last start out, which is ridiculous how often he used that splitter. And it's been outstanding. He got 28 points against Kansas City, striking out 10. He struck out 7 in his previous start. He's thrown 97 pitches in both starts. Great stuff. They're going with a Houston team that still won't have everybody back, but they are getting healthier. They'll get Jordan Alvarez back because they'll have a DH now, which will be good for them. But I have no problem going to Alex Cobb on this one at $7,700 on a wonky slate. He's definitely high up on my agenda as a SP1 if you're not using Buehler, otherwise SP2 to Buehler on this slate. Nick Pivetta, $7,400. I'm not a huge Nick Pivetta fan, but I believe Nick Pivetta brings a decent floor to the matchup. It is a Seattle Mariners offense that is slowly heating up. You got guys showing up, like Lewis is back now, but you got Seager and France hopefully cracks the lineup. You got Marmoleos. You got a bunch of different guys helping out, contributing from time to time, but you still have a lot of swing and miss in this lineup as well. Pivetta can take advantage of that. He's thrown 83 or more pitches in every start. He struggled his last time out just going deep because he's walking too many guys. But prior to that, at Baltimore, 101 pitches, 92 pitches against Tampa Bay, five or more innings in both starts, four or more Ks in both starts. He had 17.5 or more points in both starts. So he had the floor that we're looking for in those matchups. So Nick Pivetta at 74, I could see as a floor play as well. Then it gets weird. You go Aaron Sanchez at $7,100 at home against Miami. Garrett Cooper left him with an injury, and I forget Alfaro's on the IL. The Marlins are getting banged up like everybody else in baseball right now. So if you want to go Aaron Sanchez at 71, I don't think he's got a high ceiling, but I think he can get you 12 to 15 points. And if you're good with that at $7,100, go for it. The other option is Justin Dunn at 68. He is the Jekyll and Hyde of pitchers. His stuff is electric, but he's also young and inconsistent. His first start this year, 4 2/3 innings, 3 earned, 8 walks. Crippled him. Just crippled him. Second start out, though, at Baltimore, 5 innings, 1 run, 2 walks, 6 Ks for 22.3 points. Which Justin Dunn do we get? Because he's facing the Boston Red Sox, a team that's heating up offensively, one of the hotter teams in all of baseball, but still a team that strikes out a lot. There's a lot of strikeouts there. Like Dunn could give up 3 or 4 runs, but still leave with 8 Ks as long as he's not walking guys. That is the key. Don't walk guys, Justin Dunn. So in a tournament, Justin Dunn is in play because I think he'll get very low owned at $6,800, but not one I'm running to play. So my main guy is Buehler up top at 10K, all about it. Love me some Alex Cobb. Love me some Nick Pivetta. And this is not like 2013 we're talking about here. This is 2021. It's or maybe 2016. Let's be a little nicer to them, I guess. But yes, we're talking Cobb and Pivetta. Those are names that I'm actually considering throwing into lineups on this Thursday evening. So Buehler, Cobb, Pivetta, and then you have Sanchez and Dunn at 71 and 68 to be a little different. I think Dunn's got tremendous upside for his price point, but a tremendous floor as well. So just keep that in mind when you're building your lineups. A lot of volatility there. Check out the ownership. I know we talk about it in the Slack chat a lot. It's free. If you want to come join it, the Fantasy DGen Slack chat, just hit me up on Twitter at BDentric. Get me your email and we'll get you in there. We talk ownership. We talk leverage. We've talked about it in recent nights. Like on Wednesday, for instance, Peterson was one of the highest owned pitchers. We said, play a leverage Cubs stack. Well, Cubs went bananas. We also said, June is going to be very popular. Play some Rays. The Rays helped out and did some damage early. They kind of quieted down, but it was big. The night before, we said, hey, if Castillo struggles, play some D-backs. It was good. They don't always like pay off the big one because you have some other teams just going bananas. But when they do go off and it's kind of a normal night, that's the way to do it. So think about leverage, especially on these smaller slates. The bigger slates, ownership is kind of spread out a lot where it's not that big a deal. But on these smaller slates, you can definitely play leverage. So that's something to think about in the Slack chat. Just hit us up there. Hit me up on Twitter at BDentric, and we'll get you in there. Speaking of places to hit us up, if you can rate and review the podcast on iTunes, I'd really appreciate it. It takes you a couple minutes out of your day. It would mean a lot to me. It's how people can get more exposure to the podcast. It can be seen by more people by your kind rate and reviews. Also, if you'd like to watch this podcast on video form on YouTube, check out the RotoBaller YouTube channel. Subscribe, share, all that good stuff. And go check out my written content for DFS at rotoballer.com, my other content at fantasydegens.com, and other good stuff. Bench with Bubba, a new episode with Batflip Crazy dropped. Got another one coming up later this week with Chris Clegg. So a lot of cool stuff there. Always stuff going on. So check me out on Twitter at BDentric. Let's talk about the bats on this 5-game slate. Catcher's position, you got Christian Vasquez, always a decent play. He's very expensive. Love me some Wilson Contreras, the lefty Lucchesi on the mound, and then a beat-up Mets bullpen because they threw a lot on Wednesday. Contreras had another couple hits, a double and whatnot on Wednesday night, swinging it really well, hitting lefties extremely well. So Contreras at 46, very much in play this evening. Love me some Buster Posey, double donged on, Tuesday? And he's hitting it well. He got the lefty Castano in Miami, a pitch-to-contact type guy. So you can look to Posey, who's putting up some decent numbers of late, hitting in 5 of his last 6 games, hitting .310 on the season, .989 OPS, things I like to see with Buster Posey. He's $3,900 in that situation. Other than that, you can punt the position if you choose. Maybe Barnes gets to start for the Dodgers. He's 31 versus Weathers. That could be a nice value in his situation. If you're not using Alex Cobb, I have no problem with like a Martin Maldonado at 28, Tom Murphy versus Pivetta at 26. If you just want to punt and pray for a home run, those plays are in play for you as well. First base, you're going to have some value here. I have a hunch, just a hunch. But talking prices up top, Shohei Ohtani went deep on Wednesday, 5,100. The price is finally getting there. If you listen long enough, I'm like, he's too cheap. Finally, he's more expensive than the Walsh. They flip-flopped out. Should have been a long time ago. But Shohei's first base outfield eligible at 5,100. big fan of him against Christian Javier. I like Christian Javier. I respect Christian Javier. I might end up changing. Like, that's the beauty of the Slack chat. When we see ownership, when we see different lineups, we change things. I could see me shifting some Bueller to Javier if like ownership really gets nasty on certain things. I'm not a huge Javier fan. I do respect the strikeout upside in Javier. And but I also understand guys like Shohei can deal against him. So Shohei at 51, I'm on board with that one. Jared Walsh at 47, I love as well. Like, it's pretty much, if I like the Angels, I like Ohtani and Walsh pretty much every time. So they're both in play. They're both first base outfield eligible. You can have some fun mix and match in those ones. The Gigantes are very live tonight. Very, very live. They let us down against Castano the first time. I'm willing to go back. Seeing the same pitcher within like a five-day span, I'll go back to that with these veteran hitters. I mentioned Posey. You get Wilmer Flores, first base, second base eligible at 41. Get right back on that train. No problem with that at all. Going cheaper, though, you got Jose Marmolejos at 33 versus Nick Pivetta. If you aren't using Pivetta, Marmolejos is a good GPP value, first base outfield. I love Marmolejos. I just don't trust him for cash game plays, but tremendous upside at 3,300 in tournaments. Same with Darren Ruff, first base outfield, tournament only. Went deep on Tuesday, I believe it was. Loves hitting against lefties. He's 3,200. He's a guy to look at, especially with Brandon Belt beat up. You could probably get some Ruff at 32 or some Flores at 41 because one of them is likely starting unless Belt gets a miraculous recovery here pretty soon. There's a couple nice values in the Giants situation against one Castano. Second base position now. We head on over to Chris Taylor versus Weathers. Don't mind that. He's 4,900. He's got to pay the piper, but you could definitely look in that direction. Mention Wilmer Flores, first base, second base at 41. On board with that 100%. Jazz Chisholm, 39, led off on Thursday. If we can start getting some leadoff Jazz, he's definitely not going to be below 4K much longer, but I'm still on board. He's second base shortstop eligible at 39 versus Sanchez, who he's looked good. He's just not striking guys out. So you get a guy like Chisholm, who I read off his stats on the last podcast. His hard hit rate, his barrel rate are through the roof over the last like 7 to 8 games. It's ridiculous what he's doing at the plate. So 3,900 versus Chisholm versus Sanchez. I like that quite a bit. I hope Ty France is in the lineup because I like a little Seattle action against Pivetta. So France at 37, just make sure he's in the lineup. Cronenworth is cheap. I have no problem using him versus Bueller. And somehow he's got shortstop eligibility now. He's second base shortstop eligible at 3,400. Like that quite a bit. It's almost even cash viable. I respect Bueller a lot, but I love what Cronenworth can do. It's hard to put him in cash, but I'm almost there. Now, a price point that confuses me because where they started the year to where they are now, and I get it, struggling tremendously. He's still hitting 261 over his last 10 games, hitting 239 on the season, 510 OPS. We knew power was never his thing. He has no home runs on the year. But David Fletcher's 3,100, much more palatable. I wasn't paying 45. I wasn't paying 5K for David Fletcher. But if you can get Fletcher and you're stacking the Angels, it's another cheap piece of the Angels to make a bigger stack. We talked about it the other day. The tournament winning lineups have 4 to 5 man stacks more often than not so far this season. I guarantee you when we look at the winners for Thursday or Wednesday slate, it's going to be a Cubs stack of like 5 guys. It's just going to be that way, maybe more. So Fletcher at 31, I'm not saying he's a must play at all, but he's definitely entered the price range where he's in the discussion for stacks and maybe other options. Keep an eye on John Birdie. If he cracks the Marlins lineup at 29, nice value there with a bunch of steals upside, score some runs. Don't mind that. Jerks and Profar, second base outfield, only 2,600. Performed towards the top of the lineup, but Grisham's back, Tatis is back, so he's probably going to be hitting like 6th or 7th. Still not the end of the world because Cronenworth's down there now too. So you get kind of a cheaper stack, like maybe like a Will Myers, Cronenworth, Profar type stack situations to differentiate with your Padres. Maybe not tonight because it's Bueller, but something to keep in mind going forward. Profar's still very, very viable, especially at 2,600. Second base outfield, no issues there at all. Other than that, like Sheldon Noyce maybe gets a play, second base, third base for the Dodgers. He's 2K. He's up with all their injuries. Keep an eye on those situations as we'll get some of these guys as lineups come out. It's a Thursday. It's a weird schedule. You're going to get some interesting values potentially on these slates. Third base, you got Rafael Devers at 58 versus Dunn. Don't mind that one bit. That's definitely worth the look, but so is Justin Turner at 55 versus the lefty Weathers. Weathers has been good. You're going to get a lot of bullpen probably from San Diego, but Turner at 55 has just been raking, so you can definitely jump on board there. Kyle Seager at 47 versus Pivetta. But Chris Bryant, similar to Contreras earlier, Chris Bryant's raking this year, especially versus left-handed pitching. So Chris Bryant at 45, I have no problem with that. I'm pretty much going to have a Cubs stack. They seem to be waking up. And I know I'm not just saying that because they went bananas on Wednesday. they're slowly getting there, and this team's too good to be quiet. So Contreras, Bryant, they're not super, super expensive just yet. Even Rizzo can hit lefty, so you can mix him in there. We're going to get to Baez in a minute, who had a grand slam on Wednesday. He's been very, very fantasy relevant. So Bryant at 45 on board there. But Longo at 44, like Cubs, Giants, these are setting up to be some nice stacking spots here. So Longo at 44 versus the lefty Castano, we're on board with that situation too. J.D. Davis went deep on Tuesday, and maybe is getting things going. He's hit safely in 4 of 5 games. He's actually hit safely in all 3 games since he returned from the IL. That's something to keep in mind. So maybe he's slowly getting things going. Maybe he starts heating up. 3,600 is a decent price tag. We've seen him much more expensive. He's only third base eligible right now, but going against Trevor Williams in what should be a pretty nice hitting environment on Thursday night in Wrigley. So 3,600 for J.D. Davis. Nice contrarian type play if you want to get a little weird on the slate. Other than that, you know, there's not a ton that stands out. Maybe Matt Duffy cracks lineup. He was hitting, like, I think, 5th or 6th on Wednesday night. That could be an interesting look for you as well. Going up against the lefty Lucchesi, Duffy's first base, third base eligible, like 2,400. Probably would play him at third base over first base, but if you're looking for a really deep, deep value, Duffy's 24, not a must play at all. Just want to clarify that, but he's there if you're looking for something interesting. And Noyce is down there at 2K yet again. Shortstop, you got Bogaerts. He went deep on Wednesday. He's 5,700. Corey Seager is always intriguing, but I like Bogaerts at that price point. Lindor went deep. I said it. He's going to start heating up, guys. He's due. It's coming. Another great spot tonight. It just sucks. I was all on Baez. Baez outperformed him, so I'm not going to be mad about that at all. But Lindor's still a great play at 4,700. Not gonna tell you it's not. Still a really, really strong play there. But I'd still rather have Baez versus Lucchesi at 46. Baez is just raking. This is a good position in shortstop because usually it's been super top-heavy, and it is. But Lindor at 47, Baez at 45. Mel Rojas is even hitting and stealing bags at 43. If you're stacking Miami, that's a good look. You got Jazz Chisholm at 39, but he's second-base shortstop, so you can get a Chisholm and Rojas. Maybe they're hitting 1-2. Get that bang-bang compilation there. So it's a really interesting position where you don't have to pay all the way up anymore, which I like a lot. Cronenworth there at 34. I'd rather use Cronenworth at second. There's more that I like here at shortstop. Even Jose Iglesias, if you're playing with the Angels here, Iglesias went deep on Wednesday. He put up 13 points on Monday. He's got 8 or more points in 3 of his last 4 games. He's really starting to hit the ball pretty well. Another cheap piece of an Angel stack. So instead of using Fletcher, you can go like Otani, Trout, and Walsh, and then put an Iglesias afterwards. And it's a weird stack, but it kind of works, especially with Iglesias at 3,300. It's not the end of the world there. But then it dries up. But still, it's nice because lately we've had just very, very top-heavy at shortstop and then not a lot to like, so it's nice to have that kind of flexibility there. Outfield position, you got J.D. Martinez. He's just a monster. You can go there. Trout went deep on Wednesday. He's fine. I'll have to sugarcoat that for you. Otani, we talked about him. So those are all really great plays. Then you can slide down and get like your Jared Walsh we talked about. But Jordan Alvarez will be back. He's 4,500. That can be intriguing. I really like Alex Verdugo. I keep riding his hot bat, like more of a cash game than a tournament. But if you're stacking, yes, Verdugo is very, very viable in his scenario. Mitch Haniger has been having a heck of a season. He's 4,100. He's hitting 341 over his last 10 games, averaging almost 11 points per game over his last 10. So Seattle, it's like people are going to go look at all the lefties versus Pivetta. Don't forget about their top of the order bat in Mitch Haniger at 4,100. Someone to definitely keep on your radar. Going below 4K, Austin Slater's been slowly heating up. He's 3,900 for the Gigantes. If you're looking for some more value in his situation, Taylor Trammell is getting going. He's 34. Mentioned Marmolejo's at 33. So you got some values with Seattle if you want to fade Pivetta in their situation. You get down like Darren Ruff at 32. Mentioned him as a potential value. Kyle Lewis is back at 31. Franchi Cordero at 3K. If you're looking for some major savings, I'm not running to play any of those guys, but they're worth a look. And then see what lineups come out, because there have been some interesting value. Like Lewis Brinson's 2,600. He got called up to start playing for Marte. He's not a world beater by any means, but he's reached base safely in each game since he's been called up. He's got some speed. He can run into some points at 2,600 if that's what you're looking for. Kevin Pillar is only 25. If he cracks the lineup, he could be another one that stands out as a play at some value. And then Tommy Pham's only $2,200 versus Walker Buehler. I know Tommy Pham's been having a rough go. He's averaging about 5 points over his last 10 games. It hasn't been great. He's hit safely in 3 of his last 4. Not a world beater, but 2,200 for Tommy Pham against Walker Buehler. It's at least worth a semi-discussion. All right, recapping your pitching real quick on this slate. Walker Buehler's up top all by himself. I'm not on Christian Javier right now, but if things keep changing and ownership dictates, I don't hate him. He's not like a complete no for me, just not there right now. And then I dropped down to Alex Cobb, Nick Pivetta. I like both those. I like Cobb more than Pivetta. Cobb's kind of my SP2 on the slate, going with Pivetta. And then you got Aaron Sanchez and Justin Dunn. Justin Dunn, pretty good ceiling for his price point. Also a massive floor. Keep all that in mind. Right, if we're stacking it up on this, though, lots of ways to go. I like the Giants versus Castano, as we talked about. I like the Cubs versus Lucchesi. You could definitely go back to that route. Don't hate Seattle versus Pivetta. That's always intriguing. You could look at Miami. They're just really beat up. It's tough to get a full go there. The Mets are in play as well against Trevor Williams. You can pretty much there's not a lot of great pitching on this slate. So you can make cases for a lot of things. That's where the Slack chat comes in handy. The ownership comes in handy. As we get closer to lock, we can kind of start seeing these things. It's been great to see a bunch of guys bouncing ideas off of each other, and it's amazing how that all plays out. So join us there. Hit me up on Twitter, @BDantrick, with any questions. We'll help you out there. Again, if you could rate and review the podcast, MLB DFS Quick Hits on iTunes, would really, really appreciate it. If you're playing season-long fantasy, go check out Benched with Bubba. It's a good one. And also, I was lucky to be on Nick Pollock and Friends, his weekly podcast with different people from the fantasy industry, talking pretty much everything but fantasy baseball, just life in general, my story, all that good stuff. So if you want to hear more about me and who I am outside of this fun stuff, go check that out. And we get pretty deep. It's pretty good stuff. So go check that out. And I hope you guys have a great Thursday. I'll be back with you guys on Friday. But for now, MLB DFS Quick Hits, your Thursday, April 22nd edition in the books. I'm out.
Life's better with an auto policy from American Family Insurance. No matter what dreams you're driving towards. That's because our expert agents will make you feel totally protected with the right auto coverage at the right price. You'll also save up to 23% when you bundle auto with home. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.